And let me point out three things in Isaiah 58:11. One of the things that the Lord Jesus said to his disciples before he left to go back to heaven was, he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." And then he qualifies that. He says, "Not as the world gives." And so we want to finish off this year. This is fireworks night at Grace, the grand finale, bring it to the end of 2015. We won't have the pleasure of seeing your lovely faces and having your company again, at least until Sunday, and that's next year. So tonight we're just going to throw it all into the wind. In Isaiah 58:11, keep in mind what Jesus said. "Peace I leave with you." In what sense? In the 11th verse, we read, "The Lord shall guide thee continually, satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not." Now, if you were to take a line and connect that last statement there in the 11th verse, that last phrase, it obviously would lead you to John chapter 4, where Jesus carries on a discussion about a fountain that never runs out, never fails. It will also should maybe bring to mind something that Jeremiah talks about when he was criticizing his colleagues there in Jerusalem, where he likened them unto people who were carving out or digging out cisterns that hold no water. When people have no water, they begin to do weird things. Case in point, if you just Google up or do some newspaper reading there in the state of California, Moonbeam Brown has people on just a terrible, terrible regimen in trying to ration water without any concern for the water that they waste by letting it roll into the ocean. That in spite of the fact that, up until this year, there hasn't been any appreciable snowfall in the mountains. There hasn't been a whole lot of rain in its usual cycle. And so some of the pictures are pretty ghastly whenever you look at what was in terms of these reservoirs that were filled to a certain level and what they are today, where you can hardly see water at all. It is kind of freaky looking. But nevertheless, we have here three things in Isaiah 58:11. First of which is seen where it says, "The Lord shall guide." There's confidence there. There's great confidence there. We can probably pretty much rest in this truth that his precious shalls and wills are better than any of men's promises or oaths. His shalls and his wills. Here it is said, "The Lord shall guide thee, and he will guide thee continually." Please notice that in the word satisfy, you might have the idea of a contentment. Satisfy. Now, as we face a new year, we're ready to put the lid on 2015, jump into 2016. We can do so with reasonable peace as the children of God, because we have an assurance here where we might be confident that he shall guide. He also shall satisfy. We can afford to be pretty reasonably certain that our needs are always going to be cared for. And then it is said there, and it has to do with, can I just say, the chubby Christianity? If you read the remainder of the verse there, he says, "Satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones." Big boned. You know, that they say people have big bones, which is a polite way of saying, you know, But you have confidence, you have contentment, and you have chubby Christianity. You make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, which gives the sense of the fatness, which is essentially like a flourishing garden, like unto the Garden of Eden, as it was in its original state. So we dig into that a little bit further. We can conclude one thing about the confident part, where it says, the Lord shall guide thee. Please notice that it also adds there continually, something that he's been doing with and for God's people since the beginning. And there's no reason to believe that he will cease from that at any time here in the future. So there are no dilemmas out of which you shall not be delivered if you live near to God and your heart is kept warm with holy love, said Spurgeon. He also encouraged us this way. If we be like Enoch, or Enoch, as some would say, out east, walk with God. Way out east, Chris, way out east. Jersey. Like Enoch. If you walk with God and if you do that, you cannot mistake the road that you're on. If you walk with God, you cannot mistake the road. It is said of Enoch back in the book of Genesis that he walked with God. And then the next thing we read about him, and he was not. God took him. I want to conclude from that he never got off the right path. Never got off the right path. So we look again at Isaiah 58:11, and we can see confident Christianity. We can see peace on the pathway because God said he shall guide continually. Then we secondly think of this when it comes to his guidance. The Lord shall guide. In the book of Psalms, in two places that strike me as important tonight is first is in Psalm 48, verse 4, 48:4, where the psalmist said, he shall be our guide even unto death. Even unto death. Say, well, what then? Does he sort of like leave us to drift somewhere in timelessness? In Psalm 73:24, if you tag these two verses together, 48:4, 73:24, he will guide me all the way to glory. So beyond death to glory. Confident, the Lord shall guide us into all truth. Think about this matter of satisfaction. Contented Christianity, peace with his provisions. Peace with his provisions. The Lord shall satisfy and secure. There's a couple of references in the book of Psalms. Don't lose your place in Isaiah 58, but look in Psalm 34, first of all, please. Psalm 34. And verses 9 and 10. 34, 9 and 10. Fear the Lord, ye his saints. For there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not lack or want any good thing. Two references fast forward to the New Testament, Philippians 4:19 and Matthew 6:33, which says this. You can just take the reference down. Philippians 4:19, God shall supply all your needs. All of them. In Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things, like what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, all these things will he give unto you. No good thing will he withhold from them who are upright. And so we can be contented. We can have peace with his provision. In Psalm 37, just over a page or so, I'm thinking it's in the 19th verse. One of the things that you and I don't know in advance is the days of our lives. Nobody here has a clue. Was informed today, to my surprise, that one of my high school classmates died suddenly on Christmas Eve, and no apparent health issues per se, just like the young soldier that dropped dead after a jog, 25 years old, sudden cardiac arrest. We do not know in advance our days. We don't. However, when I look at Psalm 37, and I have you look there at the 18th, 19th verse, it says, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied." Is there historical precedence? Is there a narrative in the Old Testament whereby that is true? Where God actually did that? Took it out of the realm of the theoretical into the practical? Are you familiar with any place He actually did that? Any place at all? People were needing something to eat, or something different, I should say, something different to eat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, He did. He's able to do all of that. And there's an interesting, I'm trying to recall which guy it was, I think it was Elisha, who had dealings with a woman who was down to her last meal. And can some of you narrate for me how that played out with the pots of oil?
Mm-hmm.
Does that strike you as being odd? Oh.
In real life, yeah. Selfish.
Yeah. Okay.
But her oil never ran out. Her grain never ran out.
Seems to me God is able to do that. You suppose He's run out of stuff today? No, I don't think. Do you suppose He's run out of the will to do just that today? They shall not be ashamed in evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. We can be contented. We can have peace with His provision. In the days of famine, satisfied. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Then think about chubby Christianity. Chubby Christianity. Go back there again to Isaiah 58:11, where we read again, "The Lord shall guide thee continually, satisfy thy soul in drought, make fat thy bones." You can find a lot about fat, figuratively, as it applies to the righteous in the Scripture. You can. Book of Proverbs has numerous references about the liberal soul shall be made fat. But being as you're a gang of conservatives here, you're probably going to be lean all your days. But the liberality there talks about the generosity and the open-handedness. So there's a lot there to be said about chubby Christianity. We can have peace with prosperity, which is the essence of what the word fat, as it appears in the book of Proverbs and in the book of Psalms and the book of Jeremiah, has to do with prosperity, a flourishing state of being. Now, everybody will have the liberty to determine for themselves what amounts to flourishing as it would apply to your own life. But we have a companion passage to Psalm 1 at Jeremiah 17, verse 8. Let me have you look there for a minute. Jeremiah, the 7th verse, says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Then verse 8. "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters." Now, if you're going to put a little note there, Psalm 1, you go for another reading. Okay? It should be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Flourishing. Flourishing like a tree that's planted by the waters. So when Isaiah says about making fat thy bones and likening it unto a body of water, you can take it to understand that we can have peace with prosperity because it is God who provides, it is God who guides all the way through the year 2016. Be that an encouragement. Now, qualitatively, what you might compare this to is a reference that the prophet Ezekiel has for you in chapter 36, verse 25, which is likened unto the Garden of Eden. The garden. When you talk about flourishing, there's the epitome of it. In its pristine sense, prior to sin's defilement, the Garden of Eden, no place on earth ever like it. No place on earth like it. And when you think about flourishing, think about the references that Jeremiah has in his lengthy letter about the flourishing, and he likens it unto a watered garden, a watered garden. So peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. We can be very, very certain that this world cannot possibly give us peace as it regards the path in which we walk. Cannot possibly give us that kind of peace. Jesus can give us that kind of peace. The world cannot give us peace with regard to provision. Whenever you think that even though we are in America the most well-supplied, productive nation on the planet, yet in most every neighborhood there are but a scant 3 days food on every shelf in every supermarket. That if the supply end would dry up immediately, you might have 72 hours or maybe another day in addition to that before you have nothing to replenish your stock with. We can't count on the world for our provision, but we can count on God because He said He would supply all of our need. He does not change. We can also count on God, not the world, for our flourishing and our prosperity. And if we gauge our prosperity to be something that transcends the material essence to the supernatural immaterial evidence, we are rich beyond George Soros' wildest supercomputing calculator. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Would you pray with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you very much for the reassurance of the Word. Help us not to pay so much attention to what we see going on around us or what we hear about us, but help us, Lord, to lock on to things eternal that emanate out of your written word. And there might we rest. We believe, Lord, as people of faith, that it shall be even as you have said. Not one word will fail of all that you have spoken. You are a God who does not lie. It is absolutely unthinkable, and it's impossible for you to even sin, lying being the chief among them. So we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that you have us in the palm of your hand, from which no man can pluck us out. Not this year, not the next year, or ever. Thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.